Hello friends, this is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned for this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus right here on WMAF. If you're listening in North Florida, we welcome you today. If you're listening by computer, we welcome you once again. And if you have downloaded this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus from our website, we are very, very happy that you came to visit us, and we're glad that you have decided to make us a part of your devotional life. This broadcast is intended to edify and instruct Christians and to challenge and to inform people who haven't become Christian and may want to know more about the Christian faith, in particular about Jesus Christ, who is the centerpiece of the Christian faith. Praise God. So I just want to invite you today, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, would you stay tuned to a broadcast? And I'm not going to tell you there's not an ulterior motive. There is, but I'm going to be very upfront about it. Amen. We want you to know Christ as your Savior. More than anything else in this world, we as Christians want to see others come to know Jesus Christ, not to further a man-made religious system, but that so souls may be saved. Praise God. We want you to go to heaven with us. Amen. It's going to be a great place to spend eternity. And so please stay tuned. Today is our special guest. If you're a Christian, thank you for tuning in again. We pray that you will be challenged today to live for the Lord in a deep, deep, satisfying commitment. Praise God. Because if it's satisfying, it has to be sanctifying. The more we commit ourselves to follow Jesus and not the morals and the attitudes of this world and the values of this world system, the more peace we're going to have and the more power we're going to have to live an overcoming, victorious, fulfilling Christian life. Praise God. Amen. And those kind of Christians are the best advertisement for the kingdom of God. Amen. All right. Stay tuned today. And if you'd like to come to our website, we'll give you our initials of our ministry is THCOG. That stands for The Holy Church of God, but it's simpler to type into a good search engine like Google. THCOG will take you to our homepage of the Holy Church of God, where I've been pastor for now our 38th year right here in the city of Tampa. So please come and visit us. You can download sermons that span down through the years, many subjects that I believe would be of interest and blessing to you, absolutely no charge. And you can download recent editions of Let's Talk About Jesus as well through iPod to any MP3 player. And we would just be glad if you'd come and visit us at our website. I hope it's a blessing to you. Pray it's a blessing to you, even as we pray that this broadcast today will be a blessing and find its target, which is the heart of men and women, boys and girls, with the Word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, would you turn with me to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Verses 28 through 30. We're going to be speaking on the subject beginning this week, returning to our resting place. Returning to our resting place. Someone has said that the soul of man will never be at rest until it finds its rest in God. I want to say that again today, very loud, very clear and concise. The soul of man will never be at rest until it finds its rest in God. That's why this portion of Scripture that I'm going to read to you is so important. And we're going to not only see this in the New Covenant, where it's really fulfilled in its fullness, but where it began back in the Old Covenant. Listen very carefully to the words of Jesus in Matthew 11, verse 28 through 30. Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And the next verse tells exactly how he's going to accomplish that. He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in spirit, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, the first time I saw that word yoke, I thought of that yoke of oxen. I've even heard it preached this way, and it's not bad preaching. It just doesn't really give full clarity to what the Lord is saying here. Because when we think of a yoke, we think of a yoke of oxen with the Lord's head in one and ours in the other, and with His strength blended with our weakness, we become strong enough that together we can pull this heavy load. But no, this is not about you and Jesus pulling some heavy load and His strength being strong enough to help you to pull it. That's not what this is about. This yoke is different. The kind of yoke He's talking about was common to shepherds when they had a sheep that kept getting out of the enclosure that they put them in at night, that it would get away and get into danger of a predator destroying it, or wandering away and getting lost, or becoming a cast sheep, falling down in the time of heavy wool and not being able to ride itself and eventually dying, falling off a cliff, wandering in the dark. And this headstrong sheep that was stubborn and self-willed, they would make a yoke. And let me just give you an idea of what this may look like. It would be like two bows of a bow and arrow, not without the strings, tied together so you could pull them apart enough to let it latch back around the head of that animal. And when it went to try to get out through the rails of a fence or an enclosure, the yoke would grab and the yoke would stop it from climbing through, slipping through. Jesus is simply saying, take my yoke, take my attitude of obedience to God upon you. And the day that you do that, you will find rest unto your soul. He said that yoke is a yoke that will cause you to understand me better and understand that I am meek and lowly in spirit. I remember preaching when I preached in the jail system here in Tampa for a couple of years. I remember one of the messages when I first went in, and you know, I went in to learn. I had never preached in the prison system, and there was someone who had a ministry, and I went in to observe. I didn't go in to teach. And I remember the person who was in charge, who was the preacher, who was going to actually allow me to do it. This was their last day, and I was going to learn all this in a day. And I really prayed and sincerely prayed, Lord, let me grasp how to minister to people in this condition. I've never done this before. So I was very alert and observant. And the man who was teaching on the Beatitudes. He stood up and he read from the scripture after prayer, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And a man immediately in the back row, there was about 30 to 35 men who came to the Bible study in this holding cell where I was allowed to hold that meeting, going to continue to hold it. And he lifted up his hands with kind of a scowl on his face, and he said, if I was meek in here, I would be dead. I thought, well, this is going to be interesting to see how this seasoned minister handles this statement and this question, actually, of how can I be meek and still be manly? How can I be meek and still stand my ground when I have to? And instead of the man answering it, he turned to me, said, Pastor Venable is here today. He's going to be conducting these services. I can't do it any longer. Pastor Venable, would you answer this question? Well, that put me on the spot, so I had to depend on the Holy Spirit, as I always do. I always end up doing that, no matter how well prepared I am. And I remember the Spirit of the Lord just seeming to rise up in me in the midst of my kind of startled fear and confusion. What am I going to say to this? And the statement that came was something I had heard years ago, and God brought it to my memory. Meekness is not weakness, it is power under control. I'm going to say that again today. Meekness is not weakness. It is power under control. And I had heard a story about the war horses that were used in battle that would charge cannon fire. How did they get a horse, an animal that has a natural aversion to loud noises, so committed to their master and their master's will, that in spite of their fear, in spite of the carnage and the chaos of warfare in the ancient times, that they would charge literal cannon fire with explosions taking place all around them in order to be faithful to their rider? And I found out that particularly in the Middle East, those Arabian horses, those beautiful, shiny black Arabian horses that they used in some military campaigns in those days, they would literally train them to be disciplined to their master. And this wonderful, beautiful, powerful animal would acquiesce and submit to the will of its rider or its master. And they would literally allow the horses to become so thirsty that the scent of water would set them off. They would get excited when they got near water and they would smell it. And then their rider would get off, would stand to one side, and would tell them no. Some kind of sign to them, some kind of signal to them, some kind of vocal command to them, stand. And the horse, as thirsty as he was, with every instinct in him telling him to run full out and gulp up that water, would stand until his master gave him the command to go drink. Then he would go drink, and only then, and until a horse would overcome his own natural instincts, his own driving thirst, to be obedient to his rider, then could he be used to lead a charge in a battle, because it required that kind of commitment, that kind of discipline. Listen, in the Christian life, that kind of discipline that causes men and women to become real, genuine disciples of Jesus, it doesn't come just because the Bible is a rule book and God is an enforcer God and you better do this or else. It comes because we love Christ so much for what He's done for us at the cross, that we devote ourselves to such a degree that these kinds of disciplines come into play in our life. Amen. We do it because we love Him. In fact, the Apostle Paul, one of the most disciplined, dedicated disciples of all of them, wrote 13 of the 27 books of the New Testament. He said, "The love of Christ constraineth me." And that word constraineth means compels me. What I'm doing out of compulsion, I'm doing out of devotion, out of love for Jesus, not out of fear of getting whacked if I don't do it. Make no mistake about it. God chastens His children, but He doesn't want us to dread Him. He doesn't want us to just serve Him out of fear of punishment. Every chastening situation that is adjudicated by God to His children is like a loving parent who doesn't want to see his or her child hurt. It's the spanking that the mother gives that little boy who has just chased a ball across a busy highway. And she knows if you get near that road like that, something terrible is going to happen to you. And I'd rather give you a spanking here to imprint it in your mind. You just don't do that. I've told you not to. No matter what the circumstance, it's love in action. A mother who doesn't love her child, or a father who doesn't love his child, would let that child play in the road and be killed. But anyone who loves cares enough to discipline. And anyone who is disciplined by love doesn't see it as someone trying to hurt them. I can honestly say, every whipping I got growing up, I deserved. I didn't get any undeserved punishment. Fact is, there's a lot of things my parents didn't know that I should have been punished for. Amen. But God is a loving God. And Jesus said, if you will make a commitment to serve God, to follow me out of devotion, the disciplines will be there. And the disciplines involve taking the yoke. And when we take the yoke, it is a voluntary thing. Amen. We're constrained by the love of God to make a deep commitment to follow Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in spirit, in heart, and you shall find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. You know, the scripture said that the way of the transgressor is hard. And the scripture goes on to say to be not like the ox or the mule back in the old covenant in Psalm 32 that has to be turned about with the bit and bridle, lest it turn and rend you. Don't be stubborn, hard-headed. Amen. Come to Christ, yield to Him, and then commit your life to Him. And something powerful and wonderful happens. You don't get in some kind of religious box where you feel pressure all the time. You actually find pleasure in serving the Lord. I can honestly say I enjoy serving God. It's not always easy, but it's always full of fulfillment. I find rest. That tension between God's will and my will, amen. That tension between my weakness and my stubbornness and His commitment to lead me in a path of righteousness. That tension is gone. And there is rest, beautiful, wonderful, powerful rest in my heart. So good to lay my head down tonight and to have the assurance that if I draw my last breath, I'll take my next breath in heaven. It's so good to lay my head down tonight, and if there's a sin I've committed, to get that under the blood of Jesus Christ so that I can sleep peacefully. Amen. Because I believe that statement is biblically supported throughout Old and New Covenant. The soul of man will never be at rest until it finds its rest in God. And that's why Jesus said, you that are under this pressure, you that are laboring and are heavy laden, come to me. Come to me. I won't put you in a religious box and create more pressure in your life. Doesn't mean He won't call us to a life of obedience, because He knows if we commit to that life, devote our heart to Him, love Him back for loving us, we're going to find rest for our soul. Praise God. Come to me. Come to me. Don't run from me. Come to me. Amen. If you've never made a full commitment to Jesus, you went to church, you didn't find that rest, you decided to give up on it, try going back and not just committing to church and to the rules of a church, but committing to following Jesus Christ and His commandments. He actually told some of the religious crowd that were putting such a trip on people and pressure on people through their man-made traditions. He said, how long will you teach men's traditions for the commandments of God? How long will you say this is what God says when really it's just what you guys cooked up? Amen. Jesus said, come to me. Come to me. Listen, friend of mine, I want you to know today that making a commitment to Jesus is going to bring you into a place where God can bless you with peace. God can bless you with one of the greatest blessings of salvation, and that's peace. And if you've come to know Christ as your Savior already, and you haven't committed yourself to follow Him in a devotion that brings that discipline that says, tell me what the Word of God says, preacher. I want to know. I want to obey the Lord. I want to apply this to my life. I never said it would be easy. God never said it would be easy. But He said He would help you to do it. And when you commit to it, you'll find the strength that you don't have. He won't override your will, but He will support Amen. The decision you make to serve Him by the power of the Holy Spirit. I love that scripture that said it is God that worketh in you, both to will. He reveals His will and to do. He gives you the strength to do it. He reveals what His will is through His Word and by His Spirit. And then He grants unto you the grace and the strength by the Spirit of God to carry it out. The Apostle Paul put it this way. He said, I live, I'm dead, but yet I'm alive, and it's no more I that live. It's Christ that liveth in me. Praise God. When you make that commitment to take His yoke, you follow His attitude that He demonstrated when He walked as a man in the flesh. Amen. Even though He was very God. Amen. That He said, I'm meek and lowly in heart. I am meek. Learn of me. This is what allows God to lead us and God to guide us. I love that great shepherd psalm that David talked about. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. God will provide everything I need. And it begins with He makes me to lay down in green pasture. I like that. He gives me rest. Hallelujah. Amen. He leads me beside still water. That's talking again of that rest. Sheep simply won't drink from rushing water. Amen. They have to have a place where the water is still. You know, as Max Lucado reminds us, only one other living creature has as much trouble resting as we do. Not dogs, they doze. Not bears, of course, because they hibernate. Cats invented the cat nap, and sloths snooze 20 hours a day. Most animals have enough sense to know how to rest, with one exception, sheep. For sheep to sleep, everything must be right. No predators, no tension in the flock. No bugs in the air attacking them. No hunger in their belly. Everything has to be just so before they can rest. But they can't take care of these worries on their own. That is where the shepherd comes in. He finds the best pasture, one with no poisonous plants, with plenty of water. Shepherds anoint their sheep's head with oil that acts as a repellent to keep pesky insects away. They even scour the pasture to find snake holes, and they encircle the mouths of these holes with oil so the snakes can't get out and hurt their flock. Even then, as the psalm says, they have to take each sheep's head in their hand and make them lie down, forcing them to focus on Him. In other words, they hold the sheep by the head and they tell a sheep that is still standing when the rest are laying down, it's okay, I'm here. This calms them, and they finally rest. Today, amen, for anyone to be able to say with David, the Lord is my shepherd. We have to take the attitude of meekness and commitment to follow as a sheep in His fold. And the day that we do, Jesus said, I will give you rest. Praise God. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And this is a promise from God. You shall find rest for your soul. Praise the Lord. Amen. I am so glad today that when I was 21 years old, I got saved at 12 years old. I went to church with my dad. Amen. I didn't really understand what had happened to me. I did find out as I grew older that just going to church wouldn't give me that peace, that rest. And I drifted away from the Lord and began to look through sin and the things that sin had to offer for the satisfaction, the fulfillment that I could find something to satisfy my unrested soul. And I never found anything. Every time I discovered some new experience in sin, I found out it was short-lived, and it took me deeper into sin in my search for satisfaction. Back when I was doing all that, there was a song playing on the radio, I can't get no satisfaction. That was the anthem of my soul. Amen. It's been kind of updated and upgraded just a few years back. U2, one of the pop groups from Ireland, I believe, wrote the song that said, I still haven't found what I'm looking for. I'm going to say it again. The soul of man will never be at rest until it finds its rest in God. When I came to Jesus Christ at 21 years of age, and I made a full-blown commitment, not just to repent of my sins, but to follow Him, I literally did what Jesus was challenging people to do here in this verse of Scripture in Matthew 11, 28. I took His yoke upon me. Amen. I said, I'm done with doing my thing. I'm done with following my way. I'm done with this attitude of rebellion and self-will. I want to serve God. I want to have my soul saved. I want my sins forgiven. And I really want to follow Jesus, who suffered and died for me. And I've been following the Lord all these years, and I can tell you right now, there's no better life. Hallelujah. You say, Brother Venable, if you had $10 million, don't you think it would enhance your life? Certainly it would. I think I'd drive a better car, live in a bigger house. Our closets are pretty small here. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something. When you're talking about life, the real life, we're not talking about the stuff. I can honestly say, I don't believe I'd be any happier. I'm not saying things don't matter, but the real happiness, the real joy, amen, the real peace. Listen, if you had $10 million and you don't have this peace, you're poor. Yes, I said it right. You poor. You're a very poor person. Amen. Amen. But if you have little, but you've got this peace, you are rich today. You are rich today. Praise God. So I'm going to say something to you in these closing moments today. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, I want to challenge you right now to come to Him. Quit running from Him and run to Him. And the Bible said if you will do that, you will find what you're looking for. You too said, I've been everywhere. I still haven't found what I'm looking for. Well, I'm telling you today, amen, I have come to know Christ as my personal Savior. And I didn't just get religion, and I didn't just start going to church, which everyone should do. I found a relationship with Jesus. Amen. And today, I returned to the God of my fathers. Many of you were raised in Christian homes. You've heard about the faith. You've been exposed to the faith in a positive or negative way, but you have been exposed to the faith. And you probably didn't discover what God wants you to see, that there is life and that more abundant when we commit ourselves to follow God instead of the devil, to follow Christ instead of our own fleshly desires. And that there's joy in this journey, and there's peace that passes all understanding. So today, if you don't know Jesus, would you bow your head? If you're driving, don't bow your head on that interstate system. Listen, just open your heart and say, Jesus Christ, I don't want to spend my life trying to find that elusive thing called peace. That elusive thing called rest. I want to be able to lay down tonight, sleep in peace, knowing if I wake up here, you're with me. If I don't wake up, I will be with you. And all along the journey, that you'll be there to help me every step of the way. If you're a Christian today and you haven't committed your life in a full-blown commitment to Jesus, I ask you to return today. You know what He said? Return to me and I will return to you. Hallelujah. Amen. We're going to talk more about this next week. Why don't you come back and let's talk about Jesus.